It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm Condori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. Get a discount if you mention the show, kmlawyers.com. In 1 hour, we're giving away tickets to see Creed at Jiffy Lube Live. Right here on The Fan, we've got tickets all week long ahead of the Blitz at 4 o'clock for those Creed tickets on Grant and Danny. Mark Ein, who is one of the minority owners with the Washington Commanders, was on Kevin Sheehan's podcast, and he was asked about a possible rebrand and why it's not more of a priority at this point, why we're not hearing more about the name being changed. This is what he had to say.
Actually, rebranding is a really big lift. It is a way bigger than people understand, probably on the face of it, between trademarks and uniforms and colors, if you would ever even think about that. And so we just, it has not taken a moment of focus, because the focus has been building a great organization with a great culture, getting the right pieces in place on the field and off the field, and then investing a lot of money and a lot of time into making sure our current stadium is a place our fans like to go, and that's what we've been focused on.
That is essentially what they've been saying the entire time. So I wouldn't say that it's newsworthy in that if you just read the transcript, there's nothing new in it. However, it's a minority owner on the record directly answering that question, which is rare, and we have not heard anyone. Maybe Mitchell Rails on the investing podcast he was on several months back, or Josh Harris at some business luncheon seminar on a stage in D.C. over the last year or so. I mean, it's been very rare, but occasionally they'll answer the question about a possible rebrand with rhetoric something like that, which is to say it's a lot harder than you think. It's not something we could just touch a button and do. To do it right, we need all hands on deck, and that needs to be our number one priority. And we're not there yet. We need to fix the stadium. We need to make it a place people can go to and enjoy. And we need to try to just make the organization and the fan base feel like they're invested into something worthwhile again.
Yeah, the Harris rhetoric to me has been, we are prioritizing other things right now. That, to me, added a, you guys don't know how hard it is. You guys don't see how hard this actually is to do a rebrand. And what we, and again, no one will hear this part of the caveat, but whatever. Huge fan of this ownership group. I think they've turned into A-work so far. I think there are a couple misses. I think this is one of them, but whatever. In general, I've been thrilled with their attitude, their approach, their understanding, their community outreach, the everything from trying to improve the experience at FedEx. The proof will be in the pudding, obviously, but the general manager, coaching stuff, beefing up the front office. They've done so much well and so much right. And it's obviously such night and day from that little twerp tyrant. Obviously, it goes without saying, right? They've been awesome. This, I think they are not doing the right thing here. And when you tell me that one of the reasons why you're not prioritizing it is because it's hard, I cannot stomach that. I don't like that at all. It's hard for the restaurant to serve fresh food. It's hard for the plane to land every time. It's hard for my business to take good care of customers. You know what's hard? Three decades plus of no 11-win seasons. What's hard is being embarrassed to be a fan of your team and having to justify it and swim through nonsense and the news instead of who's starting at outside linebacker. It's another investigation. That's hard. I've done the hard. You don't tell me how hard it is. You tell me that you're working on it. You tell me that it's done, or you tell me you're not doing it. I'm going to be a big boy. I can take it. I did not like that at all. Again, huge Mark Ein fan. Seems like a really nice guy. On the up and up. Appreciate him. These guys being accessible. They've already done more interviews and talked to people than Dan Snyder did in a decade, right? They're great. Again, I don't like this one bit. I don't need to hear how hard it is. Get my ship to shore, dude. Don't tell me how tiny the parking spot is. Parallel park that SOB. I don't like that.
So I view it differently because you hear him saying, I can't clean my room. It's too difficult. And I hear him saying, I can't clean my room because it takes 3 hours and I don't have three free available hours today. And I think that's very, very different. He is saying, to clean my room correctly, here's how I need to do it. That runtime, that runway for me needs to be X number of feet long. I don't have that many feet in front of me. And I buy that to an extent. Now, here's the debate that I think is actually, in my opinion, the one to have, which is, are they miscalculating where this should rank on their priority list?
And that's the point I was going to counter with. He's saying, I can't clean my room. I don't have time. My television show starts in 5 minutes. Mm-mm-mm. Get that room clean.
Well, he's saying, I need to have the kitchen and the living room clean because people are coming in the front door, and those are the two rooms they're going to see. I can keep them out of my room. I can't keep them out of the stadium. And I can't keep them out of, you know, just the general fixing of the organization and fandom is what he's talking about. Culture, so to speak. He's saying, we don't have a choice on those. That either happens right away or we're done. We get one shot as an endangered species organization to try to keep people coming to our games and caring and wearing some of our gear and being moderately invested. And we're trying our best to take this swing. But we've got to focus everything we got. All of our artillery, all of our guns are pointed at this one bad guy. We don't have time to worry about what might be coming over the other hill. But I think that what we could talk about, and we'll get here in a second because I want to stay with your angle mm-hmm. for a moment, is their calculation right? How they put their list together is, I'm sure, based on a lot of research. Maybe even some kind of data analysis, polling. I don't know. But they've got really smart people that I would imagine they're paying a ton of money telling them, here should be your tasks. They're also really smart people. Mark Ein's a genius business person.
Smarter than me.
Mitchell Rales is unbelievably brilliant. Look at what Josh Harris has done in his life. Mm-hmm. But beyond just their really smart minds and getting guys that are super sharp like Magic Johnson and others in the mix, I think there are people going, okay, first thing you got to do, this stadium is an abject disaster. This is untenable. People need to not hate going to games. Other thing you've got to do, being a fan of this team is not only uncool and you don't get to ever see them win, it's unpleasant. And when you admit to someone you're a fan of the team, you kind of whisper it and you hope that they don't follow up. We need to fix that. You can't be the team that you go, I like the Commanders, and everyone stops what they're doing and the record scratches so you can... They ask you why and how it happened and how long you've served time for. You know, like, that can't happen. And so those things to them are at the top, and then the name is below. I'd like the name to be higher on their list or the brand, so to speak, because I think it can fix some of the other problems.
That's my point.
I think if they changed the name and rebranded, it could actually make a lot of things better, including how it felt to be a fan of the team, which is their number one thing. You know, the stadium experience gets better if you're not going to watch the Commanders and you're going to watch a thing that sounds better that you don't hate and the uniforms that you actually want. Maybe there is an appeal to that. So to me, that's my angle as opposed to the... I don't hear that answer and say, oh, they're being lazy. You know, or to better quote you and not exaggerate, like you're saying, don't tell me it's hard. Everything's hard. Business is hard. And I'm going, I don't think they don't want to do it because it's hard. They bought a team for $6 billion that was kind of falling off of a cliff. They were ready to roll their sleeves up and work. I just think that the calculation is different.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing it because I don't think they want to do it. And that's another point we'll get to here in a second. But to me, as we kind of weave through the different analogies, I do see it as this is too big a project for us to fix. And if it's higher on our priority list, then you start working on it, then you do it. I also refuse to believe that a group with this wherewithal, with this much acumen, with this much business expertise, can't walk and chew gum. You can have a construction crew reinforce the railing so it doesn't fall on Jalen Hurts, and have a team working on a rebrand. I refuse to believe that this is too big of an undertaking. But secondarily to that end, I do hear that you guys don't understand how big a deal this is. That's why we're not doing it right now. And I think it solves almost all those other problems. How many Redskins fans or WFT fans or Commanders fans in this country are there, conservatively? We think there are 2 million people that are fans. 1.5? I have no idea. I'm making up a number. Let's say there's 1 million fans. Less than 4% of them are actually going to games or will go to a game this year for 1 million different reasons. They don't live close by. They hate the stadium. They're like me. Whatever. Touch the rest of them. Build that brand. Fix that. Like, improve it. It's not, the arguments against the Reds, not perfect, and it's hard. Do better. The whole point is to try to strive to do better. And they're not interested in that. And they've told us time after time that they're not, but they're not closing the door on, we're not doing it. If the door was closed, I'd stop harping on it. I'd go, that sucks. Bummer. It's over. It'll be like Wizards, and I'm stuck with it forever. A team name that I'm embarrassed about that I think stinks.
So here's my disagreement with the way that they're handling this. My disagreement is that if they are eventually going to change the name, I think they should say that. And if right now they know that they're not, I think they should also say that. It is possible, I guess, that they don't know what they're going to do, which is essentially what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're going to, when they talk about, we're going to discuss that, or we'll revisit that, we'll look at that, is a phrase you hear a lot of. It just means, like, we'll do our research, and we'll get to that, and we'll have lengthy conversations, and we'll get a bunch of smart people in a boardroom, and we'll decide what we're going to do in the future. A kicking the can down the road. I don't believe, just my own personal opinion, that they don't know right now whether they are going to be rebranding or not. I think they might not know exactly when, but they either know that they are or that they're not. That's my opinion. I don't know how you couldn't.
Right.
And if that's true, if my theory is true, my first hypothesis, that they know the reality, I think they should level with people a little bit. Because if you are sticking with this name, or even if you know it's going to be the name still in 2030, I think you should come out and say that. Now, maybe someone would say, well, they're kind of telling you the name's not going anywhere anytime soon. But they have not come out and said, listen, guys, we're not changing the name in the next several years. They have not done that at any point. And if they did that, I could just speak for myself, I would be more willing to engage with this current name that is unpopular. I view it as such a holdover and such a passerby and such a ship crossing in the night that I have no interest in investing in it. Hey, come up to the, you know, the bow and use your binoculars and look at this ship going by. The ship will be gone in a few minutes. It's fine. If it's anchoring in front of us for a few days, I might want to get to know some things about the ship. I think this name is just is going to be gone. So why would I buy gear? Why would I invest time and energy into liking it? That's why I think if they do know something, it's time to tell us. Maybe they don't. And if they don't, okay, I would say that's probably a mistake too. You should have some clarity and provide some information beyond. It's just not a priority right now.
Yeah, and so the stadium that's the priority, from that same interview, we now know that's basically a decade away. 7 to 10 years is what is the window that we're looking at.
I thought he said
7 to 9, right?
30. Yeah, I think 30 was the earliest, which is 6. But yeah, it was 7 to 9 was floated as
so,
as a time.
And then of course the theory then becomes, okay, they'll do those both at the same time. When you move into the new place, it's not the command center, it's the hog pen, or whatever the hell they're going to do. I have no idea. But so again, they're kicking that can down the road. And my point is
that but real quick before you go forward,
yeah.
Is there even a path to major success from an organizational growth standpoint with no new stadium and no new name by 2029? I guess if they win, then everything else.
And this is my point.
But what if they don't?
Right.
What if Jaden Daniels is okay and or a couple of years from now they're looking for another quarterback? And I'm hoping that's not the case. I'll knock on wood with everybody else right now. But I got 30 years of them not winning. I'm hoping they do. They got a chance now. They got a real owner. They got a general manager. They got a new head coach. They got a quarterback. They might win 10 games this year and 12 games next year, and it's on like Donkey Kong. But just play along with me for a second. What if they don't win? And I am still going to the X, and the team is still the Commanders 5 years from now. What is the ceiling for that?
It's low. And I think they're falling into the same pitfall that Snyder did. Now, again, he's harassing people, allegedly, whatever I'm supposed to say, and he's the worst. But from a football perspective, he always felt like he was that one move away. You heard him on that stupid whatever call it was with the Maryland legislators. We found that guy in our sounds, a cornerback. That's all he thought. If we get the quarterback right, they'll forgive me. And all the lemmings will just come back to the turnstiles and hand me my money. Not understanding that he was naked and everyone had to tell him he had clothes on. He'd driven everybody away, and he's the worst. But I think they're falling into that same trap. I think they're basically thinking, if we are good, if this actually works, then people will have a positive brand, and we don't, our association with the brand, and we don't have to spend the millions and the energy and the effort. We can focus on something else. I think that's what they're doing. If this was a real priority, they'd be already working. They would do something about it.
Okay, then you're suggesting basically that they don't plan on changing the name and they're running out the clock.
Yes, if they now let me, I'm going to try to say this the way I really mean it. I think they'd prefer not to. I think what they want is to go, we got a GM, we got a good structure. Let's see if we can get 10, 11 wins a couple times, get a playoff W at home for the first time in 20 years. And if we do that, the name will grow on people and we'll be fine. They'll change it if they have to.
Respectfully, it's been 25 years, with all due respect.
Mm.
1999 was a long time ago, okay? The only win in the history of FedEx.
You know what? I conflated it. I was thinking of that other playoff win, but that was a roadie. That was a roadie.
That was old. That was 2005. That's a keeper.
Yeah, that was my 20 years one because that was in Tampa. I remember that one. What did they go through the other ones? The other wins go. So I think for the first time, they're hoping they get a couple of them, and then they won't have to. And they think the lemmings like me will just fall in line. And I disagree with them. I think they're making a mistake.
That is a potential strategy. I mean, it's a possible explanation. Hey, let's win. Let's be good at football, and this will fix itself. Because Commanders is all of a sudden going to grow on people. And three straight years of double-digit wins and a couple division titles and an NFC championship berth followed by a Super Bowl appearance over a four-year span or whatever. And next thing you know, the Commanders are fun and it's cool. And being a Commanders fan is interesting and kids are wearing gear. And that is a possible strategy. But let's open up the phones on this, the MGM National Harbor listener lines. At 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I think the best way to ask the question is, we should play the Mark Ein comment again here in a moment, but you have another owner being asked about this, staying on message, so to speak, mm-hmm. the can kick down the road. Do you think that they are running out the clock, hoping that they can just keep this name? And then if they wait a few years, it might take care of itself. Or do you think they actually plan on changing the name and that you're just taking them at face value, that they have too many other things to do? That they can't do it because they got to figure out the stadium. They got to figure out football stuff, winning games. They've got to figure out an actual organizational structure and culture. And that is all more important to them. And so, yeah, they'll get to the name and they want to change the name, but it's just not at the top of their priority list, which is more, I would say, just taking him at what he said. Again, this is from Sheehan's pod.
Actually, rebranding is a really big lift. It is a way bigger than people understand, probably on the face of it, between trademarks and uniforms and colors, if you would ever even think about that. And so it has not taken a moment of focus, because the focus has been building a great organization with a great culture, getting the right pieces in place on the field and off the field, and then investing a lot of money and a lot of time into making sure our current stadium is a place our fans like to go, and that's what we've been focused on.
Mark Ein, of course, so big into the Washington Castles chairman, who brought Team Tennis to D.C. He is a venture capitalist and now minority owner of the Commanders, friend all the way back to childhood of Josh Harris's, native of Maryland. Earned a degree in economics at the Wharton School, MBA from Harvard Business School, was with the Carlyle Group and Goldman Sachs, among other stops. Pretty sharp guy.
Yes.
Joined Kevin Sheehan and was talking about a potential rebrand. So what do you think? Where are you weighing in on this? 800-636-1067. They very well may get to it, and it just isn't on the radar right now like they're saying, or do you think that they are trying to take the air out of the football and run out the clock a little bit here in hopes that eventually, Commanders will just become part of the fabric and we'll all accept it. G&D on the fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
actually rebranding is a really big lift. It is a way bigger than people understand, probably on the face of it, between trademarks and uniforms and colors, if you would ever even think about that. And so we just, it has not taken a moment of focus, because the focus has been building a great organization with a great culture, getting the right pieces in place on the field and off the field, and then investing a lot of money and a lot of time into making sure our current stadium is a place our fans like to go. And that's what we've been focused on.
That's Mark Ein of this ownership group on the Kevin Sheehan podcast. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Eric on Twitter said, it's called Time to Market. They can't say they're changing the name now because it would kill all revenue streams based on the name. Think jersey sales at Christmas. They can't change the name for this season, so they can't also ruin sales of merch this year. Maybe. I mean, if that's how it eventually comes down, that they change the name going into next season and it was a multi-year process and it was kept under wraps or whatever, and they didn't want to just put the complete boots to Commanders for the reason he talks about, Understood. I don't get the sense that they're working toward having a new name next year. They're kind of saying the opposite of that.
Yeah. Now, it could be the ultimate smokescreen. It could be the ultimate smokescreen. It could be that everybody in uniform is saying this to a certain degree, coming up with various reasons, and every public statement is to one end, and behind the scenes, there's a secret committee. They're just going to have a video like the Guardians did, where Tom Hanks is like, we're the Guardians now, and that's the end. Maybe. I don't know. I'm kind of doing a little, I'm cherry picking here. I'm sort of taking them at their word, big picture, that they're not working on this, that it's not a priority, that they're not thinking about it right now. And then going a step further and going, here's what I think that actually means. So, you know, you could have different perspective on it. I totally understand that. But to me, this doesn't sound like a group that's real excited to do it. And I think they'd rather not.
Another excellent tweet here from a guy named Johnny, who says, I'm not sure what the merch sales are on this chart, but this is what they care about, and this is why they care about the stadium. And it is basically a pie graph of every team's revenue that comes in 2023 and how it breaks down. So NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL. And not surprisingly, the NFL has the much largest piece from national TV media, meaning the television deal.
Yep.
The NFL, 66% of the money that comes in is from the TV deal. That's just the check you get stroked from the league that gets deposited.
You're in the league. Congratulations.
The other four slices after 66% of the pie from the national TV rights, 17%, the second biggest piece, is ticket sales, which is a little bit surprising that it's that high of a number. It certainly isn't for the Commanders, I would say, because I don't know that their ticket sales are big enough for that, but this is the average for teams, and it's why they care about butts and seats and tickets, and I understand that. My point is, I think that a rebrand would actually benefit them immensely from a ticket purchase standpoint. We hear from people all the time that are, oh, I'm a Redskins fan, not a Commanders fan. Okay, well, that guy might be out no matter what because you're not going back to Redskins. But maybe if you went back to Hogs or something that better appealed to him than a weird arcadey name that, you know, is out of nowhere and looks like it's from a spring football league, you know, maybe you get a few more of those people to come back. I don't know. They have to dig into that deeper. 10% from team sponsorships, 6% for concessions and parking, 1% from what they call like local television deals. That's like Channel 9 pays them a bunch of money to get the interview every week with Dan Quinn and, you know, get to sit down with Daryl Green after they find out his jersey.
Yeah, the old NBC Sports Washington had their preseason games, that kind of stuff, those kind of relationships.
So that chart is interesting as it points out ticket sales are going to be really, really important. But question for you guys here, 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Do you take the ownership group at face value when they say we got too many other things and we'll get to it eventually or we'll consider it at some point down the road? Or do you think this is just their way of basically thinking if we cover our ears and say la 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 loud enough, a few years will go by and it's not going to be an issue anymore because we're going to win and it'll fix the problem. Let's go to Bill in Arlington. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
I don't think it's either or. We spend 25 years complaining about a team that doesn't focus on putting a quality product on the field. Now we've got somebody that wants to put a quality product on the field and they're willing to put everything else on hold until they get that. I think that's fantastic. And I think, you know, of the three factors you just read beyond the national ticket revenue, all three of them are based on putting a winning product on the field. You put more butts in the seats, you drive more merchandise sales, you drive more parking concessions, and the television contracts locally are more valuable. So these guys are real smart folks. They're going to spend the least amount of money to accomplish the most. And the best way to do that is to put your money into the football program.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think they're doing that. But let me ask you this question. What they can do as an ownership group is find really smart football people and spend a lot of money on their front office, which they did.
They've done that.
Peters and Newmark, and I could go on and on, right? Hire the staff that Dan Quinn wants and the best at every position. They've done that. Give money when they want a free agent or whatever. There's so many things they could do, and they've done as many of them as they can this offseason. There are other things as they go on that they'll continue to have to do, whether that's beefing up an R&D department, all kinds of little things we can't see. Maybe it's a training room. Maybe it's the weight room, whatever. But those, the idea that as an ownership group, which is really more about business than football, that they can't do both, I disagree with that completely. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are in charge of winning football games, not Mark Ein.
I think there's some logic to the argument that if they focus on that, they buy themselves a few years, and it solves for the stadium and potentially the same time frame for a rebrand standpoint, that makes sense to me.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I think that's the strategy. I think that's what it is. That guy, I think, represents a lot of people who just called. The responses I get when I said, hey, I saw these quotes. Here's my thought. I met Funny Danny. 80% of the people that respond, just win. That's all that matters. I don't care what you call them. Just win.
Well, then maybe they're in good shape.
And that's my point is for the rest of us who, you know, understand that there are different offices that handle different things. You know what I mean? That get that there's different silos there where sometimes you don't win. Sometimes your quarterback has a sprained ankle and you got to start some jag down the stretch and you end up 8-9. That's going to happen.
My problem
the controllables
with
right there.
The just win thing is silly because like they need to focus on the football part. What does that mean for Josh Harris? Staring at the Arlads depth chart? You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, does that mean watching the game film over Adam Peters' shoulder?
Hey, Cliff, I had a play call suggestion for 2nd and 6 in the first quarter there.
No. They are doing other things. Jason Wright is the team president, or was until this past week. They're going to have a new team president. That guy has nothing to do with football, everything to do with business and getting people to come to games and getting deals with sponsorship people and marketing people. That's what the ownership group is focusing on. With all due respect, I think Mitch Rales is awesome. Like, he is really smart, and he's been great at getting guys back involved, including Daryl Green, and he's done an incredible job. Do I think Mitch Rales is you know, pouring over Bobby Wagner's tape to try to figure out what he should do on 3rd and 6?
He's doing replay decisions on game days,
No, that's not a thing. He's coming up with ideas, really good ones, to build a Hall of Fame and shuttle in kids from every school in the area and giving them a T-shirt and a hat. Awesome. Smart. Do more of that. But they have to focus on winning. Yeah, they're focusing on it. That's what the offseason was, and that's what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the football people are trying to do. Let's go to Ernest in West Virginia. What's up, Ernest?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
Again. You bet it.
It seems to me, I guess we almost have to kind of trust the process. They are all business people. They will not, Josh Harris, he's not going to sit around trying to worry about it. He's going to hire, you know, some great people, which they have, great people who can make, you know, who can help them with the decision. But if they have a list of things that they have, they feel they have to accomplish first, I'm all for that. The name can come because football seasons come around every year. So they have to, you know, if they're trying to, win the fans back, that's going to take some time. You know, they will win some back this year, but they're still going to have to try to win some more back for next year, you know, to build this whole thing back up again. And then, you know, once that happens, if it does happen, which I hope, then they can, you know, maybe think about changing the name. I'm sure. I believe they have in their back of their mind that they would like to change the name because that's what fans want.
Thanks, Ernest.
Thank you, buddy.
Much appreciated. I also think this should be pointed out. You want the name change, or you want them to focus on this because you hate the name and you despise Commanders?
Yes.
And you just think that it's bad and they have to change it. My horse in the race, if that's such a thing, is I want fans to be the most engaged and excited as possible. And I think changing the name to something that is more well-liked is the path to that.
Yeah, so real quick.
To me, it's not about Commanders. I don't care Commanders or anything else. It seems to me like the pick that was made has not worked and resonated, and it has not done what I thought it hopefully could to try to provide a spark. I don't know if that's possible. Maybe there is no spark. Maybe because it's not Redskins, the ceiling is just much lower than we ever anticipated, no matter what it is. But I do want to differentiate myself from you, where you're just upset they're not doing it because you hate the name.
So, but yeah, but let me offer one other quick point. If this was just me by myself throwing a temper tantrum, going, it's not Redskins and I'll hate it forever. That's it. No. It's not the case. Such clear polling. Such clear data. I'm not alone. I'm not some raging old man screaming at the ocean about the tides. Everyone hates it. So many people hate it. The best they got in all their polling, internal, external, is 15, 16% of the people are fine with it. That's as good as it got, as it has. It has not stuck. I'm not a crazy person who's by myself just yelling about stuff, just to yell about stuff. This is the layup of all layups. This is standing next to fish in a barrel. You don't have to hit one. Just raise your hand and go, I'm near the barrel. It's so easy. Everybody hates it. And I'm not crazy. It's right there for it. The data, they got the same stuff we do, and probably better.
Oh, I bet they got better data than we do.
You know?
Let's go to Jared in Rockville on the Fan. Hey, Jared.
Hey, guys. Grant, I think you were dead on. The way I took his comments the same way you did, in the sense of the whole cleaning room analogy, that, yes, it's hard to do, but it's harder if it takes 3 hours. Danny, but I also see where you're coming from in the sense of, like, this needs to happen. So my question would be, I'd love to hear your top 3 to 5 moments of focus. What do you think? I'd like to hear your prioritizing of things, A, and B, like, you can do them all at once. You can just keep hiring people to do certain jobs. You pay someone a couple $100,000 to rebrand it. Like, you're going to be able to find people to do that.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, my first priority is that nothing collapses, nothing leaks on fans that are coming to my games. Like, shtick aside, like, no sprinkler systems, no sewage, no
stadium
railings.
Upkeep.
Yeah, that has to happen. That's like a safety thing. That's just getting that piece of crap up to code. The second meeting that morning is a, what are we doing about this thing that everyone hates? What is this easily controllable thing that we can improve and do a lot better at to get people more excited? We got one crack at this. We can't change our name again in 5 years. This is the one. That little tyrant is in the rearview mirror. We got control right now. What a great way to sort of roll this whole thing out. I would do that morning.
Do you guys think that they are trying to run out the clock? Or do you think, like they're saying, it's something they'll consider, but they can't yet? There's just too many other priorities, and you don't have any problem with the fact that it's not higher on the priority list. 800-636-1067 will also sneak in a quick double play. You're listening to Grant and Danny. In 15 minutes at 4 o'clock, Creed at Jiffy Lube Live tickets right here on Grant and Danny. If you want to win those, you better be listening. It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
House of the Dragon continues to hit bombs.
I haven't seen one episode of it yet.
God, it's good. It's so good. This is the, in its prime, Game of Thrones before the showrunners. This is what actually went down. The showrunners got a Disney thing to write a big Star Wars movie show or something like that. And so, like, okay, we got to wrap this up. So what should have taken years, they tried to do in like 3 or 4 months, rushed everything, screwed it up. So the ending took it away from kind of the public zeitgeist. Every Monday, that's all everyone talked about, was the Game of Thrones from the previous night. 30, 40, 50 million people a week were watching it, at, you know, during or after the fact or whatever. It went away. House of the Dragon doesn't have the same attention that Game of Thrones does. It's getting ridiculous numbers, obviously, on a weekly basis on a paid TV channel. But still, it doesn't have the same sort of cachet. I'm telling you, they've got this vibe that Game of Thrones had, and once it's got its feet wet, like end of season one, season two, season three, right in there, it's so good. And because Game of Thrones walked at first so that everyone else can run, they got a big enough budget now where it's not like one shot at the end of season one where you could see a dragon. This is now sort of like their routine. They're part of the furniture. It's like, hey, there's a sheep. There's a low peasant who's hawking carrots at the town market. There's a dragon flying overhead. They could do all of it. It is so good. It is can't miss television. That's what I got for you.
Why do you think it is that when a show is away for a long time, I think this one was away for almost 2 years. Maybe it was a year and a half or something.
Let me look.
But even when I'm super in, I fall out and it's hard to get back in. I was watching, you had me watching House of the Dragon. I watched the first season. I got all in. I was hooked when it aired live. What is it? Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Yep. or whatever. I would have to watch it so I didn't have to go grab it later. Really enjoyed it. But I have not been able to really motivate myself to reinvest for this second season, even though if I could have just watched the second season as soon as season one ended, I would have just gone through and binged it in 2 days, and here I am, however long later, just kind of going, maybe I'll get around to it.
Yeah, season one, summer 22, season two, summer 24. And too much time has elapsed for you. I'm telling you.
Do I have TV ADHD?
To get you into a television show, there's got to be the perfect sweet spot, man. The wind can't be blowing from the west. You're like early career Steven Strasburg. You know what I mean? Like, is there Icy Hot in your jock? Is there a show? Is there too many episodes? Are there too few? Do they come out too far apart? Is it available on a service that you know your password for? It is hard to get you in, man. All they do is churn out excellent content.
I know I would enjoy it, but there's a lot of other things right now that are really good.
That's true.
That are more timely for me. Giants offseason Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Another episode dropping tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Receivers on Netflix has been bangarang.
Very good.
Really enjoying that. So when those two end, baseball every night's kind of fun. We got baseball every single night. Like, the Nats are off tonight. Tonight's going to be a really good receivers night. And knock out the final couple episodes with the wife.
The Boys finale just happened with a jaw drop in there at the end, I would say.
Speaking of shows that I loved initially, but have never gotten back
to. I just don't get it.
Did I watch one season or two seasons of the Boys? I think I watched the first season. And then I've never gotten back.
What I can't imagine, the thing where you and I differ probably the most about anything, is I love this. I had a great time. Here's more of it. No. Something else, like too many minutes have passed or something, or too many. I'm sitting there going, dude, it comes out tomorrow. You're like, yeah, but I've run out of any kind of desire or emotion for it. It goes away for you.
I also kind of forget a little bit. Some things, and I'm like, it's kind of a chore. Do I want to look it up and reread about it? Or they do the little previously.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do previously. They get you the whole season in a minute and a half.
I don't know if it gives you everything you really need.
It gives you enough.
For full enjoyment. It is time for my double play. In-N-Out, thought of by Californians as having the best fast food burger in the United States, is no longer the number one seed in the burger conversations. In fact, In-N-Out lost its best fast food burger title in a surprising, apparently, new poll that came out.
Whoa.
I'm going to read from the Daily Mail. The apparent champion of grab-and-go burgers is the Habit Burger Grill, which has 380 restaurants based primarily on the West Coast with a smattering of locations of East Coast chain. Any file?
The Habit Burger.
You know about this?
I've never heard of that in my life.
If that's how it's said, H-A-B-I-T Burger Grill.
Yeah, there's actually one in Waldorf I've been to a few times. It's pretty good.
There's one right here in Wardoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's the best burger of any fast food chain in America?
That's tough. It's definitely really good. It's hard to compare it to. I don't know.
What are we? Is it like a McDonald's burger?
No. It's definitely more of like a restaurant style burger, or
served
even
served out a window.
No, it's not.
See, this is the problem I have with these polls. So you go in and get it like a Five Guys.
Yeah, like a Five Guys, exactly. Or like an Elevation Burger or something.
To me, that is not fast food. That is fast casual. Fast food. I sit in my car and you hand it to me through a window. In-N-Out is fast food.
Well, you sit at In-N-Out, too. They come and bring it to you.
Okay, but I can also go through a drive-thru at In-N-Out, correct?
Yeah, I've done the drive-thru In-N-Out. Yeah,
if it is a drive, like compare a burger that's a drive-thru operation to an in-house sitting at a restaurant experience is not fair. That's like saying he doesn't have as many knockouts when he weighs 40 pounds less as a boxer or something.
So some of the burger chains on this list, I think I've got the same list as you do. In-N-Out, Five Guys, Whataburger, Culver's, which all of you comfortably sleep on, by the way.
You don't get to do that.
Rodney Culver's is silly.
I told you about Culver's.
You didn't.
You hadn't had it until recently.
You didn't tell me.
I'm
You didn't
so
tell
sure.
me about that.
Oh, don't do this right now.
You didn't tell me about that.
We talked about it like 6 months ago. You said you'd never been there.
When I ate at Culver's.
Arizona.
Yeah, and I ate there.
I know you did.
And
welcome
I loved it.
To the party.
And I told
Congrats.
You all about it.
Oh, my God. It doesn't feel as good when you're doing it to me.
Right?
I'm going to tell you this.
I informed you of that place, and you went, I should try that. That's how the combo went.
I'm not doing that. I'm not playing along.
I'll admit it if you admit it.
What do you want me to admit?
You know what I want. Give me what I want.
I don't know what you want.
Do it first, and I'll do it right back.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Then I told you about Culver's.
You do it first, I'll do it back.
I offered it first. Tell everyone the truth.
About Drive to Survive?
Yes. Tell everyone the truth.
The F1 TV show?
Yes.
That I got Danny to watch it.
I'm so glad you now know about Culver's, courtesy of me.
Oh, this is
It stings, doesn't it?
This is Whatever.
Bad. The point of that dude's story is you walk up to the counter, everyone's so pleasant, you order, and you sit down, and they bring it over to you.
A little butter. A little butter burger.
It's not exactly like you're sitting at the counter at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's.
Same.
It's not the same, but it's also... It's faster than sit-down order from the server, but it's slower than kind of your more traditional fast food.
It's very simple. People botch this. Fast food is a drive-through chain. Fast casual, you go in and you eat. That's Chipotle. That's Five Guys. That is a different category. So I'm glad you bring this to my attention, Darius, because I wipe that off of any fast food list at that point. Fast food is Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, obscure stuff, too.
Sure.
Long John Silver has a drive-thru, I think. If there's any of those still left, I think there's one off Route 3 in Fredericksburg. That's fast food. I mean, we're all getting it. I think everyone understands.
I think everyone gets it. So I've never had Habit Burger. Number three on this list, by the way, is BurgerFi. What do we know about that?
Wait for it. BurgerFi I've had many times. That is also not fast food. That is a little walk-in burger place.
Tell me about BurgerFi. What do they do?
We can get back to BurgerFi.
Okay.
BurgerFi. TCB on Twitter just said, Habit Burger in Bowie does have a drive-thru. This could change everything.
Oh, man.
Darius, how sure are you that the Habit Burger in Wardoff does not have one?
100% sure. I've been to the Habit Burger in Waldorf many a times. You got me messing up Waldorf now. How do you say it? Wardorf?
Wardoff. Yeah.
That's a good bit. I've never been to the one in Bowie. Didn't know there was one in Bowie. So, yeah, I have no idea.
What do we do if there are sometimes drive-thrus, but other times there's not? I think then that's not a fast food. Every McDonald's has a drive-thru. You can't have a McDonald's without a drive-thru. That's what makes it fast food.
Unless it's in a shopping mall, which I've seen.
That's a good point, but I don't
count. I know
that.
What you mean, though.
If it's a standalone brick and mortar, you know, if it's drive-thru, it's fast food. And if it's not, if there are any that aren't, I don't think it is. BurgerFi, I'm trying to think of the one I went to. Maybe out in Loudoun County when it opened, out off Route 7. But it is, it's really good. Burger fry joint. They have unbelievable crispy chicken sandwiches as well. Even though it's called Burger Fi, you would think you would never order that.
Mm-hmm.
Do a really good fry. It's almost like a Shake Shack little carton. Put all kinds of cheeses and stuff on it.
So the 10 list here, Habit Burger 1, In-N-Out 2, Burger Fi, Jack in the Box, Five Guys, Whataburger, Culver's, Burger King, Carl's Jr. Number 10 is White Castle. I would change a couple names on that list. I'd slide a couple up and a couple might get slid down a little bit.
Did you say McDonald's?
Wasn't on there.
Where's my quarter pounder?
Neither was Shake Shack, by the way. No Shaquille O'Neal on there.
Where was Wendy's? Wendy's makes a good burger. Can we at least all come together on that? Wendy's makes a great burger.
Yes, they do.
They grill their patties.
Yes, they do.
Are they a never frozen situation?
That's the claim, yeah.
Let's go.
Fresh, never frozen, I believe.
Wendy's.
I think I've got my advertising right on that.
That there is your double play. We will go blitzing next, and we got those tickets to see Creed on G&D.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots
of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 15 minutes at 4 o'clock, Creed at Jiffy Lube Live tickets right here on Grant and Dan. If you want to win those, you better be listening. It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
House of the Dragon continues to hit bombs.
I haven't seen one episode of it yet.
God, it's good. It's so good. This is the, in its prime, Game of Thrones before the showrunners. This is what actually went down. The showrunners got a Disney thing to write a big Star Wars movie show or something like that. And so, like, okay, we got to wrap this up. So what should have taken years, they tried to do in like 3 or 4 months, rushed everything, screwed it up. So the ending took it away from kind of the public zeitgeist. Every Monday, that's all everyone talked about, was the Game of Thrones from the previous night. 30, 40, 50 million people a week were watching it at, you know, during or after the fact or whatever. It went away. House of the Dragon doesn't have the same attention that Game of Thrones does. It's getting ridiculous numbers, obviously, on a weekly basis on a paid TV channel. But still, it doesn't have the same sort of cachet. I'm telling you, they've got this vibe that Game of Thrones had, and once it's got its feet wet, like end of season one, season two, season three, right in there, it's so good. And because Game of Thrones walked at first so that everyone else can run, they got a big enough budget now where it's not like one shot at the end of season one where you can see a dragon. This is now sort of like their routine. They're part of the furniture. It's like, hey, there's a sheep. There's a low peasant who's hawking carrots at the town market. There's a dragon flying overhead. They could do all of it. It is so good. It is can't miss television. That's what I got for you.
Why do you think it is that when a show is away for a long time, I think this one was away for almost 2 years. Maybe it was a year and a half or something.
Let me look.
But even when I'm super in, I fall out and it's hard to get back in. I was watching, you had me watching House of the Dragon. I watched the first season. I got all in. I was hooked when it aired live. What is it? Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Yep. or whatever. I would have to watch it, so I didn't have to go grab it later. Really enjoyed it. But I have not been able to really motivate myself to reinvest for this second season, even though if I could have just watched the second season as soon as season one ended, I would have just gone through and binged it in 2 days, and here I am, however long later, just kind of going, maybe I'll get around to it.
Yeah, season one, summer 22, season two, summer 24. And too much time has elapsed for you. I'm telling you.
Do I have TV ADHD?
To get you into a television show, there's got to be the perfect sweet spot, man. The wind can't be blowing from the west. You're like early career Steven Strasburg. You know what I mean? Like, is there Icy Hot in your jock? Is there a show? Is there too many episodes? Are there too few? Do they come out too far apart? Is it available on a service that you know your password for? It is hard to get you in, man. All they do is churn out excellent content.
I know I would enjoy it, but there's a lot of other things right now that are really good.
That's true.
That are more timely for me. Giants offseason Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Another episode dropping tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Receivers on Netflix has been bangarang.
Very good.
Really enjoying that. So when those two end, baseball every night's kind of fun. We got baseball every single night. Like, the Nats are off tonight. Tonight's going to be a really good receivers night. And knock out the final couple episodes with the wife.
The Boys finale just happened with a jaw drop in there at the end, I would say.
Speaking of shows that I loved initially, but have never gotten back
to. I just don't get it.
Did I watch one season or two seasons of the Boys? I think I watched the first season, and then I've never gotten back.
What I can't imagine, the thing where you and I differ probably the most about anything, is I love this. I had a great time. Here's more of it. No. Something else, like too many minutes have passed or something, or too many, I'm sitting there going, dude, it comes out tomorrow. You're like, yeah, but I've run out of any kind of desire or emotion for it. It goes away for you.
I also kind of forget a little bit some things, and I'm like, it's kind of a chore. Do I want to look it up and reread about it? Or they do the little previously.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do previously. They get you the whole season in a minute and a half.
I don't know if it gives you everything you really need.
It gives you enough.
For full enjoyment. It is time for my double play. In-N-Out, thought of by Californians as having the best fast food burger in the United States, is no longer the number one seed in the burger conversations. In fact, In-N-Out lost its best fast food burger title in a surprising, apparently, new poll that came out.
Whoa.
I'm going to read from the Daily Mail. The apparent champion of grab-and-go burgers is the Habit Burger Grill, which has 380 restaurants based primarily on the West Coast with a smattering locations of East Coast chain. Any file?
The Habit Burger.
You know about this?
I've never heard of that in my life.
If that's how it's said, H-A-B-I-T Burger
yeah.
Grill.
Yeah, there's actually one in Waldorf I've been to a few times. It's pretty good.
There's one right here in Wardoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's the best burger of any fast food chain in America?
Ooh, that's tough. It's definitely really good. It's hard to compare it to. I don't know. I'd have.
I was gonna
think
say like, what are we? Is it like a McDonald's burger?
No. It's definitely more of like a restaurant style burger, or
served
even
out a window.
No, it's not. Uh-uh.
See, this is the problem I have with these polls. So you go in and get it like a Five Guys.
Yeah, like a Five Guys, exactly. Or like an Elevation Burger or something.
To me, that is not fast food. That is fast casual.
Mm.
Fast food. I sit in my car and you hand it to me through a window. In-N-Out is fast food.
Well, you sit at In-N-Out, too. They come and bring it to you.
Okay, but I can also go through a drive-thru at In-N-Out, correct?
Yeah, I've done the drive-thru at In-N-Out. Yeah,
if it is a drive, like, compare a burger that's a drive-thru operation to an in-house sitting at a restaurant experience is not fair. That's like saying he doesn't have as many knockouts when he weighs 40 pounds less as a boxer or something.
So some of the burger chains on this list, I think I've got the same list as you do. In-N-Out, Five Guys, Whataburger, Culver's, which all of you comfortably sleep on, by the way.
You don't get to do that.
Rodney Culver's is silly.
I told you about Culver's.
You didn't.
You hadn't had it until recently.
You didn't tell me.
I'm
You didn't
so
tell
sure.
me about that.
Oh, don't do this right now.
You didn't tell me about that.
We talked about it like 6 months ago. You said you'd never been
when
there.
When I ate at Culver's.
Arizona.
Yeah, and I ate there.
I know you did.
And
welcome
I loved
to
it.
The party.
And I told
Congrats.
You all about it.
Oh, my God. It doesn't feel as good when you're doing it to me.
Right?
I'm going to tell you this.
I informed you of that place, and you went, I should try that. That's how the combo went.
I'm not doing that. I'm not playing along.
I'll admit it if you admit it.
What do you want me to admit?
You know what I want. Give me what I want.
I don't know what you want.
Do it first, and I'll do it right back.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Then I told you about Culver's.
You do it first. I'll do it back.
I offered it first. Tell everyone the truth.
About Drive to Survive?
Yes. Tell everyone the truth.
The F1 TV show?
Yes.
That I got Danny to watch it.
I'm so glad you now know about Culver's. Courtesy of me.
Oh, this
It stinks, doesn't it?
This is whatever. Bad.
The point of that dude's story is you walk up to the counter, everyone's so pleasant, you order, and you sit down, and they bring it over to you.
A little butter. A little butter burger.
It's not exactly like you're sitting at the counter at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's.
Same.
It's not the same, but it's also it's faster than sit down order from the server, but it's slower than kind of your more traditional fast food.
It's very simple. People botch this. Fast food is a drive-through chain. Fast casual, you go in and you eat. That's Chipotle. That's Five Guys. That is a different category. So I'm glad you bring this to my attention, Darius, because I wiped that off of any fast food list at that point. Fast food is Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, obscure stuff, too.
Sure.
Long John Silver has a drive-thru, I think. If there's any of those still left, I think there's one off Route 3 in Fredericksburg. That's fast food. I mean, we're all getting. I think everyone understands.
I think everyone gets it. So I've never had Habit Burger. Number three on this list, by the way, is BurgerFi. What do we know about that?
Wait for it. BurgerFi I've had many times. That is also not fast food. That is a little walk-in burger place.
Tell me about BurgerFi. What do they do?
We can get back to BurgerFi.
Okay.
BurgerFi. TCB on Twitter just said, Habit Burger in Bowie does have a drive-thru. This could change everything.
Oh, man.
Darius, how sure are you that the Habit Burger in Wardoff does not have one?
100% sure. I've been to the Habit Burger in Waldorf many a times. You got me messing up Waldorf now. How do you say it? Wardorf?
Wardoff.
Wardoff?
Yeah.
That's a good bit. I've never been to the one in Bowie. Didn't know there was one in Bowie. So, yeah, I have no idea.
What do we do if there are sometimes drive-thrus, but other times there's not? I think then that's not a fast food. Every McDonald's has a drive-thru. You can't have a McDonald's without a drive-thru. That's what makes it fast food.
Unless it's in a shopping mall, which I've seen.
That's a good point, but I don't
I know what you mean, though.
Like, if it's a standalone brick and mortar, you know, If it's drive-thru, it's fast food. And if it's not, if there are any that aren't, I don't think it is. BurgerFi, I'm trying to think of the one I went to. Maybe out in Loudoun County when it opened, out off Route 7. But it is, it's really good. Burger Fry Joint. They have unbelievable crispy chicken sandwiches as well. Even though it's called BurgerFi, you would think you would never order that. Do a really good fry. It's almost like a Shake Shack little carton. Put all kinds of cheeses and stuff on it.
So the 10 list here, Habit Burger 1, In-N-Out 2, BurgerFi, Jack in the Box, Five Guys, Whataburger, Culver's, Burger King, Carl's Jr. Number 10 is White Castle. I would change a couple names on that list. I'd slide a couple up, and a couple might get slid down a little bit.
Did you say McDonald's?
Wasn't on there.
Where's my quarter pounder?
Neither was Shake Shack, by the way. No Shaquille O'Neal on there.
Where was Wendy's?
Where was Wendy's?
Wendy's makes a good burger. Can we at least all come together on that? Wendy's makes a great burger.
Yes, they do.
They grill their patties.
Yes, they do.
Are they a never frozen situation?
That's the claim, yeah.
Let's
fresh,
go.
Never frozen, I believe.
Wendy.
I think I've got my advertising right on that.
That there is your double play. We will go blitzing next, and we got those tickets to see Creed on G&D.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means. Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.